If you spend much time on Twitter, you might have come across Nine Quarterly. That's nine as in German for no. It's the creation of Eric Jarosinski, a self-described failed intellectual who tweets bitter, sardonic little comments, things like, "We'll know art is dead once people stop saying it is." To his complete surprise, he's amassed 75,000 followers. Steve Paulson sat down with him.
Eric, take me back to January 2012. You're working as an assistant professor of German at the University of Pennsylvania. You're struggling to write a book. What's going on at that moment in your life?
Let's see. As soon as I put myself back there, I get a little tense, to be honest. I find myself sitting in my study at my laptop, kind of frozen in front of text that I've been writing for the last 5 or 6 years, I suppose, at that point. A book, academic tome that I was required to write for a chance at tenure at a research university, as anyone who knows that system is familiar with. There's a lot of publication required. And I've been doing okay up to that point. And I really just got tired of doing this project, frustrated with it. I don't exactly know how to explain it, but it just wasn't working. And one of my main frustrations, I think, was with the language of academia, that I couldn't really find a way to express myself that was both proper to the subject and the context and felt like it was my own somehow. And I happened to become acquainted with Twitter by chance at that point and didn't know much about it and had never spent much time on the internet before or social media. I kind of fell in love with it.
So instead of writing the book that was going to get you tenure, you were procrastinating by starting to tweet.
You could say that. It's funny because in a way, this was in fact seeking some refuge from a larger project that was causing me such frustration. But at the same time, it's actually pretty closely related to it. I was writing short texts, the likes of which I'd been reading for the last several years. My favorite philosophical texts are aphoristic texts by Nietzsche, by Theodor V. Adorno, others. And this to me seemed like a way that I could experiment with that myself.
What's fascinating is, I mean, it sounded like you had run up against writer's block, you know, writing this big academic book, but suddenly it unleashed your creativity on Twitter.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair to say. I'd also found that in teaching in a lot of ways, the performative aspect, the kind of thinking on your feet aspect of being in front of a class. And there was something like that in Twitter as well. But yeah, I would say a lot of the frustration turned into writing about frustration, probably more than anything else.
So why was tweeting so much easier than writing academically?
I'm still trying to figure that out myself, but I think that it had to do with the fact that I was playing more of a character, I suppose, on Twitter. The persona that I've developed more than anything is based on this philosopher Adorno, who I've spent so much time with, but also he's become very much my own version of him.
This is Theodor Adorno, the German philosopher and cultural critic.
Yeah, and mainly known for his work on the culture industry and often sort of lampooned for a great dislike, if not disgust, with popular culture. Yet at the same time, someone who took it very seriously and who gave us much of the vocabulary that we use to talk about popular culture today. And someone who spent time in America in exile during World War II. And so to me, also an interesting cultural bridge, really, between the U.S. and Germany, Europe in general. So I think that for me, this became a figure who was all about kind of a ridiculous degree of self-confidence in his pronouncements about the world. So it gave me license really to say whatever I wanted to say. The funny thing is, though, is that over time, I think that persona that I had developed in the beginning is becoming more like me, or I'm becoming more like the persona. But this is something that I've noticed since I began.
So this Twitter account, it's called Nine Quarterly. Tell me about it. I mean, what is this persona that you've developed?
Well, it's a voice, really, more than anything. I mean, it has the name Nine Quarterly because it is to have sort of the rarefied air of an academic journal of some sort, one that doesn't exist, at least not yet. This notion of nine, or of course German for no, is what a lot of this is about for me. I mean, I call this a compendium of utopian negation.
Utopian negation?
Yes, in the wonderful kind of at least double sense of that, and that of saying no to something that might present itself as utopian, but isn't, but also saying no as a type of utopian project, that there's something more than what we have now. There could be something else, possibly something better, more likely just wrong in different ways. But there's the potential for something else, and that's what this is about.
So you've created these very witty, funny tweets. Just a couple of examples. At Starbucks, I order under the name Godot, then leave.
Did I write that?
You did write that, yes. And another great one. Nietzsche said there'd be eternal recurrences like this. You know, it sort of kind of makes you have to think about somebody. You know, it's, I mean, very short, but there's a little kind of philosophical sting there.
Yeah, that is very much the idea. I think of it as writing jokes or sort of a tradition of the one-liner. It's interesting because this is caught on probably most and earliest on about a year ago in Germany. I think in a way what I've done is sort of maybe taken a style of humor that even came from Europe at some point, developed in the United States into a certain tradition. One of my favorite things to do are write someone walks into a bar jokes. These things do well in Europe and Germany in particular. And I think that something that they're finding there that maybe hasn't existed is a sense of criticism that is also, in a way, well-meaning somehow, or isn't simply snide or isn't simply sarcastic. A critical voice that's also willing to make fun of itself. That's very much who I think of myself as being. And I think that that's a lot of kind of how this failure is translated into something else, of frustration being expressed, but also frustration with myself, frustration with my context, etc.
So the persona that you've developed, it's kind of pessimistic, a bit whimsical, but also you're a bit of a misanthrope, right?
Yes, I would say, depending on the day, a more or less lovable misanthrope. I think my persona at one point said that the misanthrope is the last true people person. My disgust is universal and democratic, and I guess I'd like to keep it that way.
So I have to ask, what makes a good tweet?
It depends on what you're trying to accomplish with it. I think, as in any type of comedy, you're working with a type of surprise reaction, type of getting someone going one way and then quickly move to another. That small explosion of the joy of contradiction, that's the heart of any joke. What that translates into in writing, for me, at least in this Twitter format, in which things are passing you by very quickly and without any context. It's simply one joke is going to show up in a stream of world events about one tragedy after another, or your aunt's cat, or whatever it happens to be. It has to be completely self-contained, and it has to have a rhythm that works for that speed. And if anything, I've started to think about how a tweet sounds more than anything, so that if I go back to my original material of a couple of years ago, I could never write it the same way now. Now, whatever I've written would become half the size that it was then. And probably the punctuation would be radically different than it was then.
So do you have favorite tweets that you've done for Nine Quarterly?
I guess one that I liked was simply, signifying nothing is harder than it looks.
Tell me what you've written in the last day or two.
I tried to write something on the topic of failure on my way over here, on the topic of the show. What was it? But I never read these out loud. This is going to be a first. Learn from failure, friends. It never gives up and always wins in the end. That was one on the way over. But see, it doesn't work with my voice because that's not the voice I write them in.
So give me the voice that if you can, you know, I don't know, put on your Adorno accent.
It's much more
Germanic.
It's sort of, learn from failure, friends. It never gives up. It always wins in the end.
There you go. It's just you've totally changed it. Yes.
The one I wrote today was a classic, which was simply, another beautiful day to die in Venice. Let's see. Another weekend wasted on the utopian potential of social media. It's funny. I have sort of an evil laugh when I read these.
So I want to follow up on one of those tweets, learning from failure. I mean, do you believe this? Is failure in some weird way an educational tool, perhaps even a path to success?
Perhaps. I think for me, at least, there might be something to that. I'm not so sure about the path to success part as much as I would say it's a way of stepping outside of a context that you found yourself in and some rules that you had accepted and some standards you had accepted, some measures of success that you'd accepted, and making yourself question what it is that you actually want to do, what you actually want to succeed in. If success, as it's officially defined in whatever context you're in, job, relationship, whatever, if that actually is something you would consider a success.
Well, Eric, I wish you all the success in the world, if that is in fact what you are after.
Thank you. If not that, then at least failing in some other more interesting way.
Eric Jarosinski is the brain behind the Twitter account 9Quarterly. He spoke with Steve Paulson.